Manusia, human beings, etc. Vibhuta Adishu, amongst the demigods. Jiva Yonishu, in different species of life. Atma, self. Ichaya, by the will. Atma Pita, self created. Setu, obligations. Paripasaya, desiring to preserve. Ya, who? Reme, performing transcendental pastimes. Yasta, not being affected. Vishaya, material contamination. Api, certainly. Adhirudha, manifested. Deha, transcendental body. Tasmai, unto him. Namaha, my obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead. Purushottamaya, the primeval Lord. Translation. O my Lord, by your own will you appear in various species of living entities, among animals lower than human beings, as well as among the demigods, to perform your transcendental pastimes. You are not affected by material contamination. You come just to fulfill the obligations of your own principles of religion. And therefore, O Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances unto you for manifesting such different forms. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's incarnations in different species of life are all transcendental. He appears as a human being as incarnations of Rama, Krishna, etc. But he is not a human being. Anyone who mistakes him for an ordinary human being is certainly not very intelligent, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 11, Avijananti ma muta manushantanam ashritam. The same principle is applicable when he appears as the hog or fish incarnations. They are transcendental forms of the Lord and are manifested under certain necessities of his own pleasure and pastimes. Such manifestations of the transcendental forms of the Lord are accepted by him mostly to enliven his devotees. All his incarnations are manifested whenever there is a need to deliver his devotees and maintain his own principles. Translation again. O my Lord, by your own will, you appear in the various species of living entities, among animals lower than human beings, as well as among the demigods, to perform your transcendental pastimes. You are not affected by material contamination. You come just to fulfill the obligations of your own principles of religion, and therefore, O Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances unto you for manifesting such different forms. Oma Gyantamirandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jinatasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Shwayam Bhupukadamayam Tadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadar Har Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Omam Rim Shrom Om Vat Om Tataka Hataka Keshaka Jalat Padaka Lochana Vinataka Naka Sparsa Diva Singha Namaste. So this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam explains the Lord's various incarnations here within the material world. For want of a better word in English, we use the word incarnations. But actually, the proper Sanskrit terminology is avatar. Avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world. The word carne, and the English word incarnation, actually comes from a Latin verb root. Carne means flesh. So if we use the word incarnation, strictly speaking, it means someone who comes into the flesh. Just like when we speak about the principle of reincarnation, Reincarnation means that the living entity goes from one body to another, one fleshy body to another fleshy body. This is reincarnation. So technically speaking, the Lord does not incarnate, does not come into the flesh. Rather, he is avatar. Avatar means that he comes from the spiritual world in his original transcendental forms. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of the entire manifestation of all living entities, I still appear every millennium in my original transcendental form. So these spiritual forms, avatars of the Lord, they're unlimited as the waves in the ocean. Te chamsa kalopumsha krishnishtu bhagavan swayam, stated earlier on in Srimad Bhagavatam, that all the above mentioned incarnations of the Lord are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But krishnishtu bhagavan swayam, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Now all of these unlimited incarnations, which Prabhupada describes as unlimited as the waves in the ocean, they're scheduled. There's another chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam called Scheduled Incarnations. So each of the incarnations of the Lord is actually scheduled to appear at a particular time, a particular place, with a particular mission. And other than the scheduled incarnations of the Lord, no one else can be accepted as a bona fide incarnation. Nowadays, there's so many so-called incarnations of the Lord. But because they're not there in the schedule, just like devotees, they like to work with the schedule. It makes everything very clear, everything very concise. So spiritual knowledge is also very clear, it's very concise. The Lord has his scheduled incarnations, as they're mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And but for those incarnations, we cannot accept anyone else as an avatar or an incarnation of the Lord. Unfortunately, it's become very popular these days to worship anything but the personality of Godhead as an incarnation. People worship a pot, they worship a hat as God, or they worship some bogus personality who has some mystic power as the original personality of Godhead. One time Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, he told us the story that there was once a man in Bombay, he learned to bark like a dog. In fact, he was so expert, he could bark exactly like a dog. I won't try to imitate anyway. But he was so good, you hear the dog sometimes at night barking. He was so expert, he could bark exactly like a dog. So Prabhupada said, so many people, he became very famous, so many people were coming and asking him, please bark like a dog and give me money like this. So Prabhupada said, no one is going to see the real dog. Everyone wants to pay money to see the false dog. So this is the situation in Kali Yuga. No one wants to come to the temple and see the real Bhagavan. People want to pay money to go get cheated and see the false Bhagavan. This is the situation. But actually the Lord's incarnations are scheduled. Of course, the Lord is not obliged to appear only on schedule. He can appear anytime. Just like a doctor, he also has scheduled visits. He visits this hospital at one time of the day. His next visit is to this private clinic. He goes to a private home. He has his scheduled visits. But if there's an emergency, he can come anytime. Doctors are always on call. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord is always on call. He can respond to any emergency if necessary. So what constitutes an emergency for the Lord? In other words, within this material world, we see so many catastrophes. There's hurricanes, there's famine, there's pestilence, etc. So is this necessarily what constitutes an emergency for the Lord? No. If we want to understand what constitutes an emergency for the Lord, we must again refer to authorized scripture. There it says, yada yada hi dharmasya anirvaditi bharata abhyutanam adharmasya. Krishna says, whenever and wherever there's a decline in spiritual practice and an increase in irreligion, at that time I come. This is outside his scheduled visits. This is an emergency for the Lord. Adharma. A dharma means irreligion. So whenever irreligion becomes manifest, the Lord, sometimes he has to make an emergency visit to the material world. So adharma means irreligion. So to understand irreligion, we have to understand what is religion. So religion, according to Srila Prabhupada's definition, means to follow the laws of God. And irreligion means when people disobey scriptural injunctions and act whimsically for sense gratification. In particular, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. These sinful activities destroy the vital energy of the human being. Nowadays, people are very concerned with this disease, AIDS, which gradually deteriorates one's material body to the point of death. But people don't know that sense gratification deteriorates the good qualities of a human being, whereby he can understand the personality of God. It's even more serious. Of course, it's serious if one has to lose this body, which is a vehicle for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's even more serious if one engages in sense gratification and deteriorates the finer qualities, the finer sentiments of a human being, whereby he can realize God. This is described in a famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tona sandarshito datta dushtanam nisitirshitam kalim sadvam haram pumsham kanadara ivaranam. That we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just to accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali, which Kalim Sadvam Haram Pum Sham Kana Dara Ivarana. It deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. There's three very important words in this verse. Kalim Sadva Haram. Kalim, of course, refers to Kali Yuga. Sattva means the qualities of goodness, and haram means to kill. So in this inauspicious age in which we live, the age of Kali Yuga, the sattva, or the qualities of goodness, the qualities of purity, are haram. They're killed. And how are they killed? Because people engage in activities of sense gratification. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. And this creates a very hellish atmosphere which no pious man can actually tolerate. So then one might question, if no pious man can tolerate the inauspicious nature of this age, which is characterized by sense gratification, how then can the Lord tolerate? In other words, pious man, he realizes this is a miserable condition. He wants to get out of material life. He wants to get out of material existence. He wants to leave this place. Why in the world does the Lord come here? The Lord is certainly better than any pious man. One might question, why does the Lord incarnate into this hellish condition? After all, in the Vedanta Sutra, it is stated, Om Ananda Mayo Yasa, that by nature, the Supreme Personality of God, it is, he's blissful. So why would the all-blissful personality of Godhead come to a miserable place like this this material existence? Here everyone is inimical to the Lord. We have turned our face on Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the living entities are bahir mukha. Mukha means face, bahir means to turn your face. We've all turned our face from Krishna. It's like if you're having a conversation with someone, and in the middle of the conversation, they turn their face away. You would be insulted, wouldn't you? If you're talking with someone, let's say I'm talking with Umapati Maharaj, and in the middle of the conversation, I just... Maharaj would feel, what is this? What? Something like that. So this is a very nice analogy that Kaviraj Goswami uses, Bahir Mukha. We've all turned our face to the Lord. We're inimical, envious of Krishna. We've come here. Why should Krishna come here? Everyone is inimical towards him. Even Chanaka Pandit explains that one should not go to any place where there's not a king, there's not a brahmana, there's not a good physician, a good doctor, there's not a flowing river, and we are not appreciated. One shouldn't go to a place where one has simply enemies, where one is not appreciated. So why does the Lord come here? Basically, generally speaking, people are inimical towards the Lord. He has no friends here. In other words, what is a nice person like you doing in a place like this? So this question is answered in the Bhagavad Gita. Why the Lord comes to this miserable material existence, which is full of his enemies, or at least people who are inimical to him? This question is very nicely answered in Bhagavad Gita. Ritunaya sadhana vinashaya cha dushkritam. Krishna says to deliver the pious, as well as annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of dharma or religion, I come to this material world. So three reasons are given why the Lord comes to this miserable material world. Paritranaya sadhana, to deliver the pious. Vinashaya to dushkritam, to annihilate the miscreants. And dharma shamshta panartaya, to reestablish the principles of religion. So the first, or rather the third one, dharma shamshta panartaya, to reestablish the principles of religion. How does Krishna reestablish the principles of religion? By speaking Bhagavad Gita. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat panita. But for the Lord, no one else can establish the principles of religion. So how does he establish the principles of religion? Through revealed scripture. This is the law book of religion. And outside Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, there's no other real conception of religion. This is the Amala Purana, the spotless Purana, where pure religion is given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. Now, how long does it take the Lord to speak Bhagavad Gita? 45 minutes. So he comes here, he establishes Dharma in 45 minutes. Of course, by his actions, etc., and his relationships with his devotees, he also refines religious understanding. But practically speaking, the Lord establishes religion, Dharma, in 45 minutes. As far as killing the demons, he can do that even without coming. He can just make a big hurricane and wipe off every demon on the face of the earth. So Prabhupada said the real reason the Lord comes, the most significant reason, let us say, that the Lord comes, is to give pleasure to his devotees. That's the real reason. The other things he can accomplish in 45 minutes are with one breath. So the real reason he comes is to associate with his bhaktas, with his devotees. Even in killing the demons, the real reason he kills the demons is for the boys. For instance, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, many demons were coming. Actually, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam the principal demons that were coming. Aristasura, Trinivarta, Agasura, Putana. But one time, Prabhupada said that every day a demon was coming. So many demons. Every day Kamsa was sending a different demon. And where was Krishna killing these demons? Primarily in the forest. And what for? For the pleasure of the boys, the cowherd boys. The cowherd boys took great pleasure. They relished when Krishna and Balaram took Dhanakasura and his ass demons, threw them into the treetops, and they all fell. The boys were jumping in ecstasy. So Krishna doesn't need to come here to kill the demons. He can kill them from afar. Just by desiring, he can kill. But he comes here and acts the pastime of killing the demons to enliven his devotees. The cowherd, just like boys, they like to fight, they like to wrestle. That's the nature of boys. So the cowherd boys are the original boys. And Krishna is the original cowherd boy. And together, they enjoy these transcendental pastimes. So that's why Krishna actually comes. Not only for the cowherd boys, but all of his devotees. He comes to enliven them in devotional service. Krishna comes when his devotees are harassed by the demons. Actually, as far as the devotees are concerned, they're simply content to go on with their devotional service and to deliver others. But the nature of a demon is he takes great pleasure in disturbing others. As a devotee takes great pleasure in enlightening others, a materialistic person, he takes great pleasure in causing trouble for others. Because his life is trouble, he likes to cause trouble for others. As they say, misery loves company. So demon actually takes pleasure. Hard for us to understand. Because our pleasure is delivering others from material existence. But those of demented mentality, their pleasure is to see others suffer. And in particular, the devotees. Why? Because the demoniac person, he's envious of God. So anything which is in relationship, tadiya, to God, also causes him to become envious and angry. So a devotee, Prabhupada said, is one who reminds you of Krishna. That's one definition of a Vaishnava. There's many definitions of a Vaishnava. One definition of a Vaishnava is someone who reminds you of Krishna. Just like if we look at Krishnadas Maharaj here, with a wonderful transcendental smile, beautifully perfect tilak, nice chandan here, a picture of Krishna on his top piece. When you think of Maharaj, you immediately think, Hare Krishna. You're enlivened in devotional service. That's why we dress the way we do. So devotee is one who reminds you of Krishna. So when a demoniac person sees a devotee, he immediately becomes envious. He wants to destroy that person and his principles. So within this material world, there is friction between the devotees and the demons, between the asuras and the devas. Now as long as the asuras are competing amongst themselves, the Lord doesn't generally interfere. But as soon as a non-devotee touches the hair on the head of a devotee, the Lord intervenes. Just like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was able to do all kinds of nonsense. Bumbur Bhuvaha Svaha. From the lower planetary systems, the middle planetary systems, the higher planetary systems. Hiranyakashipu was doing all kinds of nonsense. Everything was at his fingertips, all living entities were bowing down to him, except Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He was so powerful. And he got away with it. Somehow or other, he got away with it, because everyone has to accept the reaction to their past sinful activities. So we must take it for granted that somehow or other there was some mass karma to be experienced. But as soon as he became inimical to Prahlad, what happened? The Lord appeared from the pillar. So there is this friction between the divine and the demoniac. Just like when something is going up and something is going down, what happens? Friction. So the devotees are going up, and demons, not innocent people, there may be suspended animation. There's the Lord, there's the devotee, there's the innocent, and there's demoniac. So we're talking about demoniac class, not innocent people. But so devotees are going up. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada. Because they're always looking to the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna, that is their destination upwards. Because of their sinful activities, demoniac people are going downwards. Mam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama. Krishna says, I cast such persons into various demoniac species of life, birth after birth. So demoniac species of life means down. So the demons are going down, and devotees are looking to the lotus feet of Vishnu. They're going up, and what happens? Friction. That friction causes the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Friction means a spark is created, and that spark ignites the fire of Dharma. Ignites the fire in this age of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So actually, why does the Lord come? Primarily to enlighten his devotees. He comes out of compassion for his devotees. Still someone may doubt that God would come to this insignificant place. For instance, if the president of some country walked into a bar or a brothel, one might be very surprised to see a high-class person in such a low-class place. Of course, nowadays you wouldn't be surprised. But in principle, one should be surprised to see a high-class person in a low-class place. So one might sincerely be surprised to hear that God comes. We may accept that the Son of God comes, or the Prophet of God comes, but God coming here to this insignificant mustard seed and a huge bag of mustard seeds, why would he come? He comes out of compassion. To illustrate this point, Srila Prabhupada told a nice story about Akbar and Birbal. Of course, you know Akbar was a Muslim king sometime in the 17th century, and Birbal was his Hindu minister. There's many stories of Akbar and Birbal. So anyway, in those days there wasn't so much tension between the Muslims and the Hindus. So he had his Hindu minister. Both of them were very religious men. Akbar was actually quite religious. They were walking in the king's garden, and Akbar is explaining the glories of Allah.
Allah Akbar? Alhamdulillah.
I think we have some very wonderful Vaishnava Iranian devotees here today, so you can correct my Islam.
Allah Akbar? Alhamdulillah.
This means that God is very great. So Akbar said to Birbal, in your tradition, in your religion, is God also great? So Birbal said, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. He's so great, Birbal said. He even comes here. Yada yada dharmasya dhanir bhavati bharata dhyutanama dharmasya. Whenever there's irreligion, he comes in his original transcendental form. So of course we know that Muslim religion, they don't think of God having form. They're forbidden. The idea being that they should not speculate on what is God. So therefore, they don't think of God as having any form like that. What to speak of coming in his form, in his original form. So Akbar, the king, said preposterous. That God would come here in his form. Why would he come here? So Birbal said, out of compassion, he loves his sons and daughters. So Akbar refused to accept the Lord would come out of compassion. Just at that moment, about 100 yards into the courtyard, Akbar's little grandson was playing by a pond. He was trying to catch frogs. So he was only 3 years old, trying to catch a frog. He fell into the pond. Because he was only 3 years old, he couldn't swim, so he started to go down. So immediately, Akbar, the king of the entire region, actually North India, there's thousands of guards everywhere, he has his bodyguards, everything. What does he do? He takes off his huge crown onto the ground. These kings had huge, heavy helmets for battle, studded with diamonds and rubies and jewels into the dust. He's a huge man. It's said that he was 7 feet tall, bigger than anyone here. Takes off his huge cloak, studded with all valuable jewels, and onto the ground. He's got a saber and an axe and a sword. Take it off. Takes off his shoes. He strips down to his underwear. The king starts running. Runs a 100-meter dash. 6 seconds. Dives into the pond. Swims to the bottom with his little finger. Tradition has it. He picked up that little boy. Put him on the shore, put him at the edge of the pond. He got out. He's a humble man. He simply walked back and put on his crown, his cloak, everything, and started walking. So a few minutes later, Birbal says, you see, now you understand why God comes to this material world? Akbar says, Birbal, what are you talking about? I just saved my grandson from drowning, and again, we're talking about religion. What is the correlation between the two? So Birbal says, just see, you are king of the land. You could have asked any of your soldiers, any of your bodyguards, any of your men, and in a second, 10 of them would have jumped in the water and saved that boy instantaneously. But you had to do it personally yourself because you love him. Because he's your grandson, you wanted to make sure that he was delivered, so you dove in the water yourself, although you're the king. So in the same way, the Lord can send his son, he can send his prophet Muhammad, but sometimes out of great compassion to save those who are drowning, the ocean of material existence, he comes himself. So Akbar said, Hare Krishna. So this is why the Lord comes to this miserable place. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvitu arjuna mamopetite kuntaya punar janma nividyate. He himself declares it's a miserable place, but nonetheless, out of compassion for those of us who are drowning, he comes here. However, all of these various incarnations, as we described earlier, unlimited incarnations, Prabhupada paraphrases their scheduled incarnations by saying once in a day of Brahma. Principal incarnations of the Lord come once in a day of Brahma. They don't stay very long. Actually, Krishna only stayed 137 years. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only stayed 48 years. So, although the Lord is coming, he's coming once in a day of Brahma, staying a few milliseconds of cosmic time, and he's gone. So therefore, he has his special incarnations. There's various incarnations of the Lord, but he has his special incarnation. His special incarnation is Shaktavasha Avatar. Shaktavasha Avatar means a living entity who is particularly empowered by the Lord to represent him. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada said in the Krishna book that the Lord is always ready to invest his full unalloyed potencies within his pure devotee. All strength, all wealth, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation, etc. Now, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada said that the Lord is always ready to bestow upon his pure devotee his full opulences. So therefore, sometimes we see devotees act as powerful, or in some cases, more powerful than the Lord by his mercy. Therefore, such Shaktavasha avatars are sometimes referred to as Bhagavan. Now, earlier in the class, we stated how sometimes false incarnations, they assume this title, Bhagavan. Bhagavan Rajneesh. Bless his soul, he's dead and gone. But he used this title, Bhagavan Rajneesh, indicating he's a Bhagavan. But sometimes it is in revealed scriptures that a devotee is given this title, not by himself. Others will give Bhagavan Narada, Bhagavan Shiva. There's a chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam describing the glories of Shiva as if he was the personality of Godhead. Of course, he is the personality of servitor Godhead. And because of his purity, unalloyed devotion to the Lord, he is invested with that Shakti of the Lord. So sometimes we see that in the absence of the Lord, those big gaps between incarnations, they're filled up by another type of incarnation, a living entity fully surrendered to the Lord, who is empowered by the Lord to represent him. And sometimes it is that devotee acts as powerful or more powerful than Krishna. An example is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach with his disciples in Bombay, and one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all-powerful. Why is it that he only spread Krishna consciousness in Bharatvarsa, in India? Why did he travel up? Why didn't Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu go all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness? He could have done it easily and delivered everyone. So Prabhupada stopped, and he put his cane into the sand, he tilted his head up a little bit, Transcendental Paramahansa, and he looked at the devotees and he said, because he wanted me to do it. Srila Prabhupada, okay! So this is the sweet and intimate relationship between the Lord and his devotee. It's a type of competition for glorification. The devotee, he wants to glorify Krishna. Krishna, he wants to glorify his devotee. Because by glorifying his devotee, he lets it known to human society to whom we can take shelter and be delivered to Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna likes to decorate his devotees with all transcendental qualities so that we can notice, know to whom to take shelter. Just like after wartime, those who are very brave and courageous, who have represented their country nicely, they're given medals. I know in some countries, old men still wear those medals. I've been doing Sankirtan in France for many years. Sometimes I'd go to some place, I'd see all these faded old medals on someone's chest. So they take pride in wearing those medals. So the Lord takes pride in decorating his devotee. Tatikshiva karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata sattava santa sattava sadabhushanaha. Sattava sadabhushana means a devotee is decorated with all wonderful qualities so the general populace can know whom to take shelter. This is the devotee of the Lord. So such a devotee is very dear to Krishna because he has the same mission as the Lord. The Lord is only here for a short time, but those who carry on the same mission, naturally the Lord is very indebted to them, especially because all they want is devotional service. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavicham bha jagadisha kamae mama janmani janmani ishvare avatad bhakti ahaita kritvaye. My Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women, neither do I want any number of followers of mine. All that I want is that I might have your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So such a devotee is very dear to Krishna because he's working for no profit, for no pay. Just like if you go to the proprietor of a large factory and you say, can you please employ me? So he says, what salary do you want? I don't want a salary. I don't want anything. I just want to serve you. Of course, we'll never see this in the material world, but it's just an example. You don't want anything? No, I simply want to serve you minute for minute, hour for hour, day for day, week for week, life after life. I want to simply serve this factory. Person's going to feel very indebted to you. So in the same way, what is a devotee's business in this material world? Devotional service. And specifically, the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is actually why a devotee lives. Why else does a devotee stay in this material world? He's not interested, dhanam, janam, sundarim, which are the basic pleasures of material life, sex, fame, money and women. Devotees, given these up, at least in principle, he's given these up. Why stay here? This is a world where people are simply interested in sense gratification. We know, theoretically, intellectually, we don't want it. So why not just leave? Because the Lord has asked us to stay here and preach Krishna consciousness. So such a devotee is very dear to the Lord. So when the Lord or his devotees come, they come to enliven us in devotional service. Punar Amrita Ashvadhana. By giving us the taste of devotional service through chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. There's nothing more precious than this gift that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestows upon us, the chanting of the holy names. Sometimes in the neophyte stage of devotional service, a devotee may still retain some attraction for material life, for activities in the material world. But we should consider very carefully that wealth, the opposite sex, and fame are all being bestowed upon the non-devotees. Krishna is the maintainer of every living entity. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, ekabahanam, yovadidati kamam. He's fulfilling their desires. So would the Lord give something that is very precious to his enemy? In other words, the Lord is bestowing fame, material enjoyment, etc. on the non-devotees. Could it actually be that valuable? Do you give that which is very dear to you to someone who's inimical to you? For instance, let's say someone walks in, they're very inimical to me. Would I give them, on my watch or my best set of clothes or my house? Certainly not. I might appease him by giving him something. Here, be appeased by this. So the Lord appeases the non-devotees by giving them some taste of sense gratification. But for his devotee, he reserves the real nectar. And what is that? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So we should never be intimidated by the so-called enjoyment of the materialists. Rather, we should understand that the supreme gift of the Lord is pure devotional service, which we can achieve by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We should never sacrifice that gift, that precious gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us of devotional service to the Lord for any type of sense gratification. There's a saying that if you lose your wealth, you've lost nothing. If you lose your health, you've lost something. But if you lose your Krishna consciousness, you've lost everything. So let us carefully guard this precious gift which the Lord and his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada have brought from the spiritual world, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Gatara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanandi.
Questions, Maharaj?
Maharaj, you gave a very nice class. But in the class you mentioned that only scheduled incarnations are accepted. But you also mentioned that sometimes the incarnations appear which are not in schedule, or sometimes the Lord comes in an emergency situation. I know one guru, I think they call him such a sly mama. They say that he's predicted, that his incarnation is predicted in one of the Puranas. So, you may not accept it because you're not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, but emergency situations do exist now all the time. So, how can we say that one incarnation is bona fide or not bona fide?
What is the specific reference? You have to ask them, what is the specific reference? Because the reference for the incarnation of this age, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Shangopaga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Vayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. But that same Lord, who is bluish black like a monsoon cloud in the previous age, has now appeared as Gauranga, as a beautiful golden form. He's accompanied by his transcendental associates, and they're always singing the name of Hari. Very rarely we hear such a sly Baba chanting the name of Hari. Rather, he is chanting the name of himself. So we have to actually ask, what is the specific reference? Anyone can say, my incarnation is referred to in the scripture. What is the scripture? Maybe some concocted scripture that someone has created from their fertile mind. But at least in Vedic culture, practically any sadhu will accept Bhagavad Gita, they'll accept Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only we are accepting these as authorized scriptures, but the entire culture in India is accepting these scriptures. On the basis of these scriptures, we can determine who's authorized and who's not.
Well, scheduled incarnations are mentioned in scripture, but an incarnation that comes about in an emergency might not be mentioned in scripture, therefore we need to
Well, Lord Chaitanya came both as a scheduled incarnation, and he also came as an emergency incarnation. How is that? Well, we explain how he came as an authorized incarnation, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna, and his symptoms were accepted by great devotees of the Lord as God. Now, how did he come as an emergency? Well, at that particular time, just prior to the Lord's descent, the condition here, Navadvip, actually this used to be Navadvip where we are now, was so bad, it's described, you could not even hear the name of Krishna. There were false logicians, there were mayavadis, there were yogis, there were mystics, there were guests. Everyone was here in this holy dham, but hardly anywhere could you hear the glorification of Hari, of Krishna. Now, Sri Advaita Acharya, he was thinking, who will deliver all these fallen people? Now granted, he must have known that the incarnation is coming, but he's saying, please come now, it's an emergency. No one is glorifying you. How will everyone be delivered? Please, my Lord, it's an emergency. And his pleas pierced the covering of the universe. And that caused the Lord to descend. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere, there are many reasons given for the Lord's descent into the material world. Krishna's descent. Some say he came to glorify the Yadu dynasty. Some say he came because of the prayers of Brahma. Some say he came for various reasons. So we can also accept that although Lord Chaitanya was scheduled, he came also in the emergency pleas of Sri Advaita Acharya. Another question?
Unless you're blessed by a pure devotee, you won't.
Guru Shastra Sadhu. To actually establish any transcendental fact, we need Shastra, we need the previous Acharyas, and we need Guru Shastra, we need Gurus. So actually without Srila Prabhupada, we would not be able to understand what is what, even in scripture, even what Sadhu said. Even previous Sadhus have spoken on Krishna consciousness, but we are able to enter into the mysterious understanding of the grace of Srila Prabhupada. That's a very good point.
Well, accepting that, what happens when a follower of Sai Baba says that you can't understand that he's Lord because you haven't got the mercy. You disregard everything else, you need his mercy.
Yeah.
And then you can see his universal form.
Brahmanda Brahmati Kam Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashad Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. That if one gets the association of the pure devotee and is fortunate enough to understand the science of devotional service, that person is extremely fortunate. One time someone said to Satya Sai Baba, Sai Baba, coined that. If you're God, show me your universal form. Because in Bhagavad Gita, on you. So a person in such a situation is very unfortunate. We should consider ourselves fortunate that we have been blessed by the mercy of the pure devotees so we can understand correctly. Any other questions? Okay, Krishna, in a verse I quoted earlier in the class, Krishna says that when he comes in his transcendental form, which is not subject to deterioration. So we can see that when Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, he was 137 years old, but he looked just like a fresh, blooming youth, 14 or 15 years of age. Actually, Krishna had grandchildren. He had great-grandchildren. But despite the fact that he was, from a material point of view, quite elderly, he was still very youngish looking. Why? Because he was in his spiritual form. We can see day by day these so-called incarnations are growing older and older and older. When the Lord comes to this material world, he is not subject to the laws of material creation because he's the lawmaker. Just like when a king goes into a jail, he's free to walk here, there, and everywhere. He's not under the same law as the prisoners because he's the lawmaker. Same way, when the Supreme Lord comes to this material world, he's not influenced by the laws of nature. That would mean the laws of nature are greater than Krishna, greater than God. Rather, we see he doesn't take an ordinary birth, he doesn't get disease, he doesn't grow old, and he doesn't die in an ordinary way. So if we study the life of Sai Baba, we will see his birth was very ordinary, he's been diseased, he's getting old, and one day he's going to have to surrender the supreme lawmaker, Krishna, in the form of time. So if he's God, let him stop disease, let him stop old age, and let him stop death.
Don't you believe Vaishnavas worship as Dvaita Acharya? I understand him as some elderly incarnation.
Yes. But still, although he appeared like that, his body was still transcendental. So transcendental that you can be have an oldish looking body which is not suffering old age. Just like in the spiritual world, there's Chitila. She has an oldish looking form, but that oldish looking form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Can some ordinary form cry so loud that his cries can pierce the covering of the universe? Only a transcendental personality, a transcendental form could actually do that. Alright. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanandi.
Samsaradava Nalalida Loka Chanaya Karunya Gunaganatvam. Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka Janaya Karuna Ganaganatva. Bhaktasya karana gunanavasya bande guru shri karana ravinda Mahaprabhu Kirtananita Gita Bhadikramadyam Manasoda Sena
Mahaprabhu Kirtananita Gita Bhadikramadyam Manasoda
Sena Mancha Kampa Sruta Ranga Bhajo Bande Guru Shri Karanara Vinda Shri Vigraha Radhanani Chanana Shingara Tadman Didamajanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Shunayunjatopi Bande Guru Shri Charanaravinda Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasaro Svadvana Triptam Hari Bhakta Sangha Vitvaiva Triptim Bhajata Sadaiva Bande Guru Shri Charanaravinda Shri Radhika Madhavayora para Madhurya lila Gunarupanamna
Shiradika Madhavayora para Madhurya lila Gunarupanamna
Shiradika Madhava Yoda Pada Madhuya Lila Guna Rupa Nanda
Shiradika Madhava Yoda Pada Madhuya Lila Guna Rupa Nanda
Pratikshana Svadhana Pasya Bande Guru Shri Karanaravinda
Bande Guru Shri
Vikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhaye Nayaili Bijute Rafikshani
Vikunja Yuno
Tata ti daksha, dati balabhasya, bande guroshi, charanarvinda. Sakshad hari, Tena samasta shastraye Ruktashta tava vyata eva sati Hintu praboya Priya eva kasya Bande guroshi Taranaravinda Yasya prasada Bhagava prasado Yasya prasada nagati gutopi
Yasya prasada bhagava prasada Yasya prasada nagati gutopi
Yasya prasada bhagava prasado Yasya prasada nagati gutopi
Yasya prasada bhagava prasada Yasya prasada nagati gutopi
Dhyam stuvam stasya yasasvi sandham Bande guroshi Tadanadavinda Dhyam stuvam stasyaya sasri sanham Bande guroshi Tadanadavinda Samsaradava nalalida loka Chanaya karunya gana gana dva
Samsaradava nalalida loka Chanaya
karunya gana dva Nalalida loka Chanaya karuna gana gana dva
Sankaradava Nalalida loka Chanaya karuna
gana gana dva Praptasya kalyana unanavasya Bande guroshi taranaravinda Praptasya kalyana gunanavasya Bande guroshi taranaravinda
Yeah.
Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda.
Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda.
Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda.